Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue and close out, at least temporarily, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, hopefully I will pick this back up on February the 1st, 2020, for 28 days, if the Lord tarries his coming, and hopefully finish it. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. Part 46, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 100. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 929, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1289, since January the 1st, 2016, by the grace of God. Turn to one of the most fascinating most moving, and all of the Word of God is deep, but this may be the deepest point. If you ever doubted whether or not the Bible was the inspired, inerrant Word of God, once you read this passage, you should never doubt it. Because God took Paul somewhere and dropped something in him that Shakespeare couldn't touch and nobody else. And many have stated something to that effect. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I told my baby son today, even though this will be a great point to wrap it up, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard he tried, and he's 18 years old now, third year of college, but the truth of the matter is there are things that he can handle quite well and quite quickly, even quicker than I can at my age now. But the truth of the matter is, this passage was so deep, he almost drowned. He almost drowned, and I had to go and help him. And come back and say, we're going to have to fight another day on this passage. We just can't wrap it up. This is not one of those. We can wrap up real quick. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. How's your love tonight? And though I have the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, you know, we're big on gifts even to this day, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Examine your heart tonight. You might not be all that and a bag of chips as you think you are. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. No rewards for you. If you don't have love, God's love in your heart. Remember now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Charity. And here's the part that I wanted to get to. I can't get to it. It's too much. You said, man, you just read three verses. Surely you can get to it. No. Every preacher knows you can't. Not if you're going to deal with the passage properly in the way that it must be dealt with. It must be dealt with thoroughly. Because it is so deep, it needs some time to dig down deep in our wicked, crusty, evil hearts and minds. Oh yes, right there in your family. Right there in the family life. We need to start right there. People in the family hate one another. How can you love the white man? You hate your black brother. You can't speak peaceably with your sister. You know you left your family in a bad way and you won't look back and help your siblings. What kind of love is that? When you know they need your help. You know they need your help. But you're flying high and you're doing your thing, but you won't reach back and help others come up out of the crab bucket. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, love, envieth not. Love, charity, vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up, pharaohistically proud, which is hell-bound pride, quite frankly. Hell-bound proud, pharaohistic pride. Some people have that. Pride, stubbornness, arrogant. You got a little knowledge now. Because you went to Bible college, you think you can tell your mom and daddy and your grandmom and them how wrong they are. See, you wouldn't do that if you have love. You'll try to help them, but you'll make sure you do it in the right way. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, the description of love. We're talking about the supremacy of love and the description of love and then the permanence of love. That's where we're going, my son and I, with some help. Charity, love, never faileth, the permanence of love. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see, and by the way, that passage there, we're dealing with love here. So it's dealing with its context. But I will say this, we have too many childish grown folks in families and in churches today who have refused to grow. And they're acting like little children. Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians. Some of you all are acting like little children. You can't handle real meat. You need to keep on drinking milk, and you're a grown person. Can you imagine? A grown person still drinking a bottle? And I'm not talking about a liquor bottle. A milk bottle. We got babes in the church today like that. And in our families, refuse to grow up. Don't want to grow up. I'm concerned about young people who don't want to leave home. I told my teenagers when they were going through college and all of that, there ought to be a fire in your belly to leave home. That's a God thing. To take on life on your own. You've been trained here. You know how to handle things. It's time for you to go and handle things. Grow up. Grow up. We have a bunch of whining pity partiers in the church. It's absolutely disgusting. We're not talking about the feeble-minded. God wants us to comfort them and cry with them and support them and help them. But we got some Christians who been saved for a long time and they're not carrying their load. They're not carrying their load because they don't want to grow up. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And by the way, there are some fathers who would rather claim they're going to work for 12, 13 hours to provide for the family when the real work is being home as much as you can to deal with your family, your wife and your children. You don't want to deal with that. It's easier to go deal with people who are not related to you. You don't fool anybody. And that's why your family is going to pot. There are wives and mothers who rather go out and be a preacher to somebody else when they're not even preaching to the little children. The little children left to themselves. You know why? They don't want to deal with that. They rather go out and stand in front of other people and claim to be a Bible teacher. And your children are going to hell, and your husband is running to the arms of Sylvia because he can't get no satisfaction. Where's the love at? No. Love your husband first. Love your wife first. Love your own children first. And then God will give you the grace to love other people in the church and love all other people who need him. But as the old folks used to say, charity begins at home. We're not going to just talk about racism. I know that's more exciting. I know you want that. And I know you like that. You like that, don't you? You like when we talk about racism and people are racist and prejudices. And they are. My children, who I shielded from that foolishness, not from the world, but I shielded my children from the white racism that is in the church because they would never be able to overcome that. Christians calling them niggers. Christians saying stupid things like, why is your hair so nappy? My daddy said, y'all are supposed to be servants to us. Y'all got the curse of Ham on y'all. I did not. I had many opportunities to have my children in environments like that. But God led me not to do that, and I'm so glad. But now that they're out in the world, and they're being passed over for promotions and so forth, they're feeling it. They're seeing it. I tried to tell them and prepare them for it, and I did prepare them for it. But they're seeing it, and it's still painful. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love, the permanence of love. Holy Father God, we have already prayed several times, but Lord, as is and has been for 40 years my custom to pray right after the reading of your holy word, Lord, I pray that you would open up this passage little by little. I thank you, Lord, so much for putting me in a situation where I can spend as much time as you want me to in a passage, because your holy word is so rich and so deep that we need to deal with it here a little, there a little, line by line, verse by verse, word by word, for it to dig down, as the old preachers used to say, germinate down into the soul and into the spirit and into the heart. For we are dealing with people today as you dealt with your chosen children, the Israelites. They are stiff-necked, hard. We call them hard-headed. They're stubborn, and they don't want to listen. And so, Lord, we need to practice the slow burn with these wicked people in this generation. And so, Lord, we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Break the band of wickedness in each person's life. And, Lord, help everybody face the mirror and see the blemishes of no love on their faces. And help them and help all of us to confess our sin and repent and to acknowledge that the biggest problem in our marriages and in our families is no agape love, no God kind of love. The biggest problem in our churches stems from the family, no agape love. And Lord, help people to acknowledge in your church that we cannot have great churches and strong churches if we don't have strong families, biblical families, practicing the love that they want practiced in the church. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us to pray. For only you can do this, for this is a Herculean task far beyond us. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And I believe that if we seek your face, we will get a glimpse of what your love really is. And help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. Revive us again for real in a New Testament fashion. Reclaim the backslidden. Save the lost. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Lehman Strauss said a Christian may be very regular in his attendance at the church services, but no amount of activity, however intense, can compensate for a lack of love. And that is so true. The God kind of love given to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't fake it. You can't buy it. You can't manufacture it yourself. You can't get it out of a laboratory. It's the God kind of love. You got to get it from God. You have to get it from God. The great preacher G. Campbell Morgan wrote that examining this chapter is like dissecting a flower to understand it. If you tear it apart too much, you lose the beauty of it. Alan Redpath said one could get a spiritual suntan from the warmth of this chapter. It's that deep. And that's why my son and I, who helps me as my oldest son, Daniel White IV, did, he's on another mission right now. Because I preach every day, I need all the help I can get. Even my daughters have helped me many times. But we came to the conclusion that we would like to wrap it up tonight in some nice little quick little 3-point sermon, but we can't do it. And I'm not going to do it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to leave you hanging until February the 1st, 2020. If the Lord tarries, is coming. If we live, and as the old saints used to say, if the Lord says, the same. A legend has it that in his old age, the Apostle John was so weak that he had to be carried into the church meetings. At the end of the meeting, he would be helped to his feet to give a word of exhortation. He would invariably repeat, very simply, "Little children, love one another." And of course, he said it with authority because he had been with Jesus. The disciples grew weary of John saying the same words every time. Finally, they asked him, "Why, John, why?" He said the same thing over and over. "Why do you say the same thing over and over?" He replied, "Because it is the commandment of the Lord, and the observation of it alone suffices over all else." Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the truth of the matter being more of an evangelist, prophet kind of a guy, which is my calling. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I thank God for all of the brethren who are. This may sound kind of corny for me, but nonetheless, it is true. The lack of genuine agape, the God kind of love, is the main problem in the Christian family today, in the church today, and in the nation today. That's apparent. And for those of you who don't believe we have a problem in the church, even to this day, for those of you who do not believe we are still under the spell of W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, what even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said some 50 years or plus ago. The most segregated hour in America is at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and that is a shame before God. Maybe Kanye can bring us together, I don't know. But as I shared with you, I will be temporarily stopping this series at 100 and focusing on the Just Jesus campaign proper as we go into the holiday season. And even though I wanted to wrap this up in a special way, I will not be able to do that because this is a passage I want to thoroughly deal with and take my time with. So by way of laying the foundation, as you know I love to do, and which I believe is very much lacking in most sermons and most churches today, we will look at what Dr. David Guzik, who Brother Sammy Madison introduced me to many years ago, who had, before he died, a unique gift, that is Brother Guzik, in breaking down the text and helping us to understand it better. And so I pass it on to you. If you have never heard about him, I'm going to introduce you to him and his gift by way of laying the foundation, by way of background information, by way of introduction. And he had this to say about this powerful passage. And he breaks it down by putting it in three categories, 3 points. The supremacy of love, the description of love, which I really wanted to get to, because this is the real deep part of the ocean right here, the description of love, and the permanence of love. He said, love is superior to spiritual gifts in and of themselves. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, just a whole bunch of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, these are all serious gifts now. The church would not have thrived or survived without these gifts. These things are extremely important. And understand all mysteries. And I want you to get what the man is saying. This is deeper than deep. This gets down, if you're saved, you will come under conviction because it cuts deeply. Because we are thinking in our mind, surely the wonderful gifts that God has given to me and so forth, to sing and to of faith and knowledge and discernment and all of that, surely this is the most important thing. And God is making it very clear, not so. That is not the case. In fact, if you don't get an understanding of this, you can miss the boat altogether. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, have not charity, I am nothing. Rarely do you see in the Bible. Rarely do you see in the Bible. It's in there a few times, but you don't see it much. God wants us to realize that we are nothing and we can't do anything without Him. But He's not big on saying that. Because if we were nothing, He would have never created us. But we, in fact, are nothing without Him. Because He did create us, number one. And then He had to come and save us, because we messed up. So He created us, caused us to be born, and then He had to work a plan for us to get born again. So we are His twice. He created us, and then He bought us with a price. So we are nothing without Him. But God is not big on that. But it is clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's mentioned, but not much. So rarely do you just get it like this. When Paul says, but if I have not love, I am nothing. So take that, all of you prophets. Take that, all of you pastors. Some of you pastors can go out into a desert with no people and plant a church and be running 200 overnight in 1 week. You have the aardvark there, coyotes, the ants, everybody be lined up on the pews. You can build a church in your sleep. Why? Not because of you, because of the gift that God gave you. All of you who have discernment and wisdom and knowledge, these things come easy to you. Just realize that you're nothing if you don't have the God kind of love. Because you see, God has all of that, and then some, and more. But what is God really known for? His love, His mercy, and His grace. The Corinthians were enamored with spiritual gifts, as we are today in the church. I get so tickled when people go around, what is your gift? What is your gift? It's normally a woman. What is your gift? What is your gift? Uh-huh. Oh, really? Okay. And some of the gifts are not even biblical, but they that's their gift. Some people don't know what their gift is. But the Corinthians were enamored with spiritual gifts, particularly the gift of tongues, like so many in America today and around the globe. Paul reminds them, even the gift of tongues is meaningless without love. Without love, a person may speak with the gift of tongues, but It is as meaningless as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It is nothing but empty noise. Someone said, people of little religion are always noisy. People of little faith, of real faith, of real agape love, they're always noisy. And you know what I do with these people? Listen to me very carefully. I get as far away as I can from these noisy religious people. They always have a word. Paul dealt with that. Always got some kind of prophecy. Always got something to say. And they can always see in your life. And they always got a word for you. They always want to lay a hand on you. And oftentimes they're full of hell and the devil and the demons of hell. Oh, these noisy people. They always are very demonstrative and everything and loud. No. I learned a long time ago that doesn't mean anything. Don't you get mad with me. Some women who shout and jump and sweat and run all over the church, those are some of the easiest ones to jump right into your bed. So don't tell me about it, because I know about it. Because they're not ruled by the Bible. They're ruled by their feelings and their emotions. People who are not rooted in the Word of God, people of little religion and real faith and real agape love, are always noisy. He who has not the love of God and man filling his heart is like an empty wagon coming violently down a hill. It makes a great noise because there is nothing in it. Tongues of men and of angels. The ancient Greek word translated tongues has the simple idea of languages. And this is where I stand. In some places, this is what I've always believed. But Dr. Guzik goes on to say, this has led some to say the gift of tongues is simply the ability to communicate the gospel in other languages. Or it is the capability of learning languages very quickly. And there are people who have that ability. There are people who can speak 5 languages. Our First Lady speaks 5 or 6 languages. The Pope can speak 7 or 8 languages. But the way tongues is used here in this passage shows it can and usually does refer to a supernatural language by which a believer communicates to God. So my friend Dr. Dwight McKissick, one of the greatest Baptist preachers in America, not only in his preaching but in his writing and his love for the people of God, may be right. I have not gone down that road with him. I've never been inclined to speak in any kind of tongue but English. I can say a few words in other languages. Que pasa? Comment allez-vous? I can speak a little Korean. Annyeonghaseyo. But that's about it. And I certainly have not spoken in any angelic tongues. There is no other way, Dr. Guzik is saying here, who was a conservative Bible-believing Bible teacher. Because he's raising the question, he's raising the point. Now, what do you do with this right here? These tongues of angels. There is no other way to understand the reference to tongues of angels other than some other language that is beyond human language. In Paul's day, many Jews believed angels had their own language, and by the Spirit one could speak it. The reference to tongues of angels shows that though the genuine gift of tongues is a legitimate language, Dr. Guzik says, I'm not with him, but that's what he says, it may not be a living human language, or may not be a human language at all. Apparently, there are angelic languages men can speak by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, Dr. William McKissick, William Dwight McKissick, now he is just as sound as he can be in the scriptures. For not only is he a great preacher and a great writer, he's a great theologian. He's a thinker. I've never heard him speak in tongues. He's never tried to make me a tongue speaker. But he might be on to something. And as Baptist believers and as Christian believers and as Christians who love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we may have differences, we can agree to disagree. Dr. Poole has a fascinating comment suggesting that the tongues of angels answer to how God may speak to us in a nonverbal way. Angels have no tongues, nor make any articulate, audible sounds by which they understand one another, Dr. Poole said, but yet there is certainly a society or intercourse among angels. Intercourse is an unfortunate word. There's no sexual intercourse, of course, but communication he's talking about, which could not be upheld without some way amongst them to communicate their minds and wills to each other. Now, see, I told you this is going way deep. Far deeper than an evangelist and a prophet ought to go. Okay? But I'm trying to make a point to you people that you can be a great pastor, you can be a great teacher, you can speak in all kinds of tongues in your closet and outside of your closet, you can preach like a machine, you can sing like an angel, but if you don't have love, the Bible says, God's word says, you're nothing. You ain't doing nothing, man. I know that's bad English, but that's good theology. So if you, as a white brother in Christ, you don't love me, you got to size me up every time you see me to see whether or not I'm one of the blacks that you can accept. You know, I fit in, and you won't have me in your church because I may not fit what your church thinks a black man ought to be. You know, subservient and shuffling and bowing his head and biting his tongue and all of that right there. You're not right. Your love ain't right. Your church building is beautiful. (Clears throat) I see you breaking ground on your fellowship hall. It's just fantastic. You just got it all. It looks very pristine and beautiful and wonderful. And you're building a great church. But you don't have God's love in your heart right, man. For you have prejudged me. You don't even know me. And you're constantly trying to figure me out and trying to size me up and got to question me and have someone else to question me. I had a white preacher to have me to come preach out in California. Bless his heart. And he started doing some things that he should have done before I arrived, before I even flew out there. But he was one of these typical pastors who love to talk about a whole bunch of issues and fill you out on all the issues and so forth and so on. And he did this before I preached the next day or that week. Just a litany of questions, just question after question about, how do you feel about this, brother? What do you think about this, brother? Yeah, what do you think about brother so-and-so, you know, doctor so-and-so? Where you stand on that, brother? Huh? And, yeah, of course, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you don't want me to preach, just make sure you pay for my ticket. And I don't need anything from you. Just let me make sure I get back to where I came from. See, there's a whole lot of that going on. And it's been going on for years. And the older preachers are tired. There's some preachers you're not going to hear from anymore about this. Because they have tapped out. They've told you 1,000 times, man, to stop doing stuff like that. But your heart ain't right. Your love ain't right. And it's vice versa. We got black folks who are doing the same thing. So that's the whole point of my laying this foundation. We got to be real about it. And we got another generation, a younger generation of blacks that you've bent over backwards. You thought you could buy them by giving them great meetings and great honorariums and letting them preach on what you think are prestigious platforms, which the older black preachers don't think they're prestigious at all. It's a step down. You have afforded them great seminary training. You've offered them, you have put them up in front of other blacks, you know. Be like this black, you know, this is the making of black people. And you've given them book deals, allowed them to make a lot of money. You told them that you'll pay for everything they need for the church plant. And you've done some wonderful things. These are good things. And I thank God for all of the things you have done. All the money you have spent. Buildings that you have given over. Especially the Southern Baptist Convention. You've done a lot. We thank God for you. But you need to examine your heart and make sure your heart is right with God and with people. And that you are truly loving everybody with the God kind of love. Because you may end up empty-handed in the end. Because if you don't have this kind of love for real, and it is a love that people can feel whether you like it or not. Well, I can't hear what people feel. I know that's what everybody says. But you can feel it. You can feel it. You know when you're loved. And you are accepted as you are. And that's what the God kind of love does. You are nothing if you don't have it. And all your money means nothing. And this younger generation is telling you that. They don't have the filter that the older black preachers showed. And the deference and respect and all of that. And try to do it in a loving a calm way, tried to show you and help you, but you didn't listen to that. And so there's a younger generation, they don't want to hear it. They don't give a doggone about how much money you gave them, how many book deals they got. They in fact, they're writing the books against you. Because, see, when you are a Christian, it's one thing to be just a regular lost black person, a regular lost white person. But when you are a Christian and you're in the Christian community and you're disrespected and you are getting the same treatment from people who are blood bought, supposedly saved, understand that we're all in the same boat, that we're all sinners. And you still are treating white folks better than me and more with more respect than me. That is unacceptable. And the older preachers tap out and say, I'm not going to deal with you like that. The younger preachers are going to fight. And they're going to fight you. And your buildings and your money and your honorariums and your, and they're going to use the education you afforded them against you. I'm not talking about me, so don't think I'm angry. I'm free. I'm free. You're looking at a free black man. I don't need your anything. I'm more on the side of the older black preachers. I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to help black folk who don't have love to love white people as well. And to forgive and to move on. Angels have no tongues, they say, nor make any articulate, audible sounds by which they understand one another. But yet there is certainly a society or intercourse among angels which could not be upheld without some way amongst them to communicate their minds and wills to each other. How this is, we cannot tell. Some of the schoolmen say it is the way of impression. That way God indeed communicates his mind sometimes to his people, making secret impressions of his will upon their minds and understandings. End of quote. And those of you who are saved and born again, you know exactly what that means. Sometimes you can pray and God will tell you, here's what you need to do about your problem. 1, 2, 3. He did me like this yesterday. We're going somewhere with this. We're laying a foundation. And you just got a glimpse of where we're going. It's got to be real, man. You can't work it up. Hey, brother! I don't see no color. Black backslap. Pow! Yeah! Yeah, boy! I dare you, man. I dare you. I love Jesus and I love all people. Yeah, boy! You tell me you love Jesus, you love all people, and you call me a boy all at the same time trying to be slick. It's not hate, brother. It's not hate. It's heritage. I understand what you're saying. Just do your heritage someplace else. Don't bring it up in the church parking lot and you're trying to win souls to Christ. Jesus said we need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Prophecy, knowledge, and faith to do miracles are likewise irrelevant apart from love. The Corinthian Christians missed the motive and the goal of the gifts. My God, help us. Making them their own goal. And by the way, let me just tell you this before you think I'm bitter and angry. No, let me help you. God has been very good to me. God has caused me to find great favor in the sight of white folks, black folk, brown folk, red folk, yellow folk, throughout my 40 years of ministry. I ain't mad at nobody. And to be quite honest with you, white folks have been more of a blessing to me than my own black folks, my own people. But they right up there, though. They right up there. They right up there. Almost neck and neck. And my Hispanic brethren right up there. Right up there. Almost. They third, but they been good to me. I ain't mad at nobody. God has been extremely good to me. And if many other black folk will be honest, God has blessed them with a good white friend as well. So thank God for the good white people who have good hearts and who want to help you, and they don't want to, they want to help you because they really truly believe you're their brother. And they respect you like they respect their white brother, and some will respect you more than they respect their white brethren. Thank God. Thank God for the good white folks. And I don't care if you like it or not. There are some good ones. Thank God for the good black folks who have a golden heart. You have to understand. Now, there's a little racism among black people. You know that, don't you? You know. Thank God for the good black folk who they respect you just like they respect the white folks. I know of a ministry in Dallas, Texas. They have an excellent ministry. And they treat everybody the same. It's run by some black folks. But they treat everybody the same. Red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. They don't treat the white folks more special than the black folks. Yes. Oh, yes, I told you the other night, man, I ran into a black lady. She needs some help the other day at the doctor's office. I'd rather be with the white woman. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh. Please. Let me have the white woman in this situation. She treats me like her own son or brother. She just loves me and glad to see me. And she treats everybody that way. Black woman, what do you need? And I'm older than she is. She's going to call my name. Daniel, what? I've never been called like that since I've been in the Air Force. Daniel, what? Now, she knows who I am. And she's going to call me in like I'm a little boy or something. And I held my peace. I didn't say a mumbling word. But I did tell the supervisor. I said, you need to talk with her because she's doing that to everybody, not only me. She sounds like she's a drill sergeant. She's young enough to be my daughter. And a good-looking woman, a good-looking black woman. But see, that just go to tell you, you can be good-looking and ugly on the inside. Bad attitude. The other lady, the white ladies, they do my eye thing and so forth. And how are you, Mr. White? Okay, if you don't mind, move right here. You know. Can you see it? So I'm not an angry, bitter black man. No. God gave me wisdom not to allow myself to get that way. God has been good to me and has shown me great favor through white folks, black folks, red folks, everybody. So I'm not one of those who is bitter and angry and so forth. In closing, Paul draws the attention back to love. Paul, quoting the idea of Jesus, refers to faith which could remove mountains. What an amazing thing it would be to have faith that could work the impossible and move mountains. But watch this. Yet even with that kind of faith, we are nothing without love. A man with that kind of faith that can move great mountains, but he will set them, those mountains, right in the path of somebody else. Or set the mountain on somebody else. If he doesn't have love. If she doesn't have love. I think you get the point. I have so much more to say tonight. But I think you get the point. The love, the God kind of love, has got to be real in your heart. Now, don't say, well, I can't help how people feel, man. I love everybody, man. I don't care. I can't help how they feel. I can't help if they think I'm a racist. No, no. You can't help that. You can't help that. But what you need to do is stop trying to pinpoint where you are, what your problem is, and trying to do it that way. You need to understand, according to Isaiah, your whole heart is sick, your whole head is sick. I've seen people for years. So I've never done that. I never said that. And they defend themselves. I love all people. I don't care what nobody says. I ask people sometimes, do you love Jesus? And I know they're in disobedience and rebelliousness and stubbornness and everything. Do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, I love Jesus. I said, no, you don't. Because Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, even that has to be driven by love. Obedience to God has to be driven by love. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Then you will obey me. I say, you're lying. You don't love Jesus. Yes, I do. No, you. Well, you shacking up. You won't repent. You mean as the devil to your own family members. You won't repent. You won't get it right for weeks, months, years. But yet you lie and say you love Jesus. No, you don't. You're a liar. Because Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll pick it up right here, February the 1st, 2020. And we'll go throughout the month if the Lord tarries his coming and if we live, and if the Lord says the same. Now, if you are a Christian listening tonight, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess your sins. Repent of your sins. You already know what your sins are. You need to get alone with God. You say, preacher, if I wanted to get my heart right with love for people and everything, where do I go do it? You go to your closet and you stay there until God changes your heart. And when I say stay there, that means you may have to go there day after day. For example, if when you see somebody, a black person on TV that you don't like, see, I can't stand these niggas. See this? Okay? You need to go to your closet and stay there a while. If you're a black person and somebody in politics says something crazy and off the wall. See, these hunkers will never change. You need to go somewhere to your closet and get your heart right with God. That's not how the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to view that. Your love is not right. It's not the God kind of agape love. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters. By the way, have you ever thought about this? We hear so much talk about reconciliation when we have never been reconciled in the first place, by the way. We hear so much talk about that, and we're having a conference over here, black pastor, white pastor, they swap pulpits and on and on and on and on and on. But I guarantee you, most white pastors and most black pastors have not prayed for the white people in their community, as far as black pastors are concerned, or black people in their community, for white pastors, as far as they're concerned. I guarantee you, most, listen to me, I have no doubt about it. In the words of the old speakers, I have no fear of successful contradiction. I have no fear of it. Because we're talkers, we're not prayers, and we're certainly not doers. The problem would have been solved by now if white pastors prayed for the black folks in their community and prayed for reconciliation, and if black folks prayed for the white folks in their community and prayed for reconciliation. Whole churches would have joined together and said, we're going to do this thing. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent, to confess their sins and to repent of their sins and get back to their first love, Jesus Christ. See, you even have to get back to your first love so that you can even have the love that you ought to have for other people. And nobody's judging you, nobody's picking on you, but here's the deal. This is an inside job, man. You can't fake this. You can't fake it. Your wife knows whether or not you are a faker. As far as love is concerned, that's why when you bought her some flowers, she threw the vase in the trash and threw the flowers back in your face because she knows nothing but a fake thing. You read something in a book. I get so tickled at these. I see these little men going into the grocery stores with this look of fear on their faces, and they're going to buy some flowers. I see them going around, walking around. I said, boy, I don't know what you did, but you look scared to death. It's not a joyful experience for these guys. They come in forward leaning like a robot, making a beeline to the flower thing section. And the truth of the matter is, I don't care who the woman is, she'd rather have you and real love from you than any flowers any day. Women don't care. Mostly women don't care anything about flowers, man. Especially black women. I mean, maybe the white women are still into that. But most black women, they'd rather see some cash or a bill paid than some flowers. Or for you to do something else. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost, regardless of color. Stop trying to build your little country club church. And that's what most churches are today, country clubs. With our kind of people, on both sides. I know some of y'all can't stand that, but it's true. And so, dear friend, let's pray about it. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for this passage. Thank you, Lord, so much for leading me to slow it up, to slow it down, to not try to be cute and wrap it up in some little cute bow that means nothing. I'm just not done. Evidently, Lord, you're not done dealing with this issue. And this is, and we could not have possibly chosen a passage that wraps it up. That last one was deep. It was amazing. But Lord, this right here deals with the issue very thoroughly and very deeply. The love's got to be real in the marriage. The love's got to be real in the family. The love's got to be real in the church. The love's got to be real in the community, in the state, in the county, in the nation, and in the world. The God kind of love. And Lord, I will admit, this love thing is far more powerful than I will ever know. And I thank you for showing me that. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you'll help us to confess our sins, help us to repent, help us to turn away from our evil ways and our lack of agape love in our hearts for our family members, our friends, our enemies, our church members, and the nation. And for black people and white people and red people and yellow people and people that, Lord, even though they were created in your image, some of us just cannot stand. God help us. God help us to love like you loved us. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us tonight, anywhere in the world, we already know that there are hundreds of you. Just on the live section alone last night, and some live sections were not even counted, over 700 of you were with us last night. And we thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And so if you are here with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. My late dad, Daniel White Jr., said, "Love is what it is." And when he came out with that statement, that little quote years ago, it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't care anything about that. But now I know what he was saying. What he was saying is very true. Love is what it is. Even what I'm telling you right now is based upon God's love for you. The reason why I'm here telling you this tonight is because of God's love for you. Not my love, God's love. So first, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God. We all have offended God. We all have done wrong. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin. Our soul goes to hell, our body goes to the grave. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said that it'd be better for you to cut off your arm and go into heaven, into the kingdom, maimed, than to go to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell. Hell is a place to be avoided. Here again is the love of God. Hell is a very real place. And Jesus made it very clear. It is better for you to go, for you to cut off your leg or to poke out your eye and go into the kingdom of heaven maimed than to go to hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is bad news, my dear friend. But I have some good news for you, and it's based on God's love. And see, this is why God wants us to know, wants us as Christians to know, that love is what it is. It must be based on love, everything we do as Christians, and especially love for the lost. Lost. Love for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. For God so loved the world. God so loved you. Love is the greatest thing. Love is permanent. Love never fails. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe in your heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins because he loved you and he loves you. And if you would trust in him and believe in him, the Bible says he will not cast you out. Just pray and ask him to save your soul, believing in your heart that he died for your sins. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. And here is God's promise, Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Yes, yes. That's what love will do for you. Save you from a hell that you deserve, and that I deserve. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's it. It is as simple as that. And God made it simple, and God made it easy because he loves us. It is not hard, contrary to what some people try to make it. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved, not one dime. You don't have to speak in a tongue to be saved, not once. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. These are good things that you can do and what you need to do after you get saved. But you don't have to do these things to get saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Are you willing and are you ready to call on his name and pray and ask him to save you? Great. I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your holy name in vain, even cursing using your name. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. And I've committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. And show me your love. And save my soul from the hell that I deserve. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and change my life. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to turn from my evil life to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believe in your heart right now that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.